Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 39. Welcome to PAX East 2010. If it's not Scottish, it's draft!
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, oh
bastards and wenches, you may now be seated. And welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm Ninja Sista.
And this is Pandalicious.
And we've taken over the B3 Dome.
Ah, shit.
Copycats.
We're better. Hey, what can I say? We have boobs. Alright, so PAX East 2010. Oh my god. I don't know about you guys, but I'm already exhausted, and even the coffee's not helping.
I agree. I mean, granted, I only got like 4.5 hours of sleep last night because Pandalicious and I were rocking out the Jonathan Colton. We got a really nice mosh pit going. It was beautiful.
He had a mosh pit going. I was just being beaten.
Were you the chocolate chip in the middle of the mosh
pit? I melted. It was painful. But the concert was great.
But it's okay because they carried you all around the stage and everything, wasn't it?
Yes, everyone took pity on me.
That was nice. But there's been a lot to see. There's been so much going on. I felt kind of torn in about 12 different angles. And I was wondering, you know, since this is the first convention for Blue Onyx, for sure, and the first big gamer convention here in Boston, where are some of you guys' first impressions of the East that is PAX?
Well, first of all, Block and I feel like two kids who have snuck into a porno shop, and we're just shocked and awed at the glory and beauty that it all is.
There is definitely a lot to see. Blonic, since this is your first convention, like, what was your first thoughts after you got badged and walked into the first thing?
That's funny, got badged.
Yeah, I got badged, and especially because of the criminal justice part of me. I wish it was an actual real badge, but more or less it definitely was like, when I was confused, I was following around the panda. I was just like, all right, panda, where are you leading me? And then she led me into the line of doom. More or less, the mile long, you know, line from hell, which,
it wasn't really a line because there was no one in it but us.
Yeah, but it definitely was funny because of the fact that they skipped on me and I had to try to duck under one of the things and I knocked the pipe off, bastards. So I kind of got yelled at, but I was just like, fuck you, I'm media. So I was kind of like, holy crap, I've already got the power under that one. So I was like, yes. So I kind of felt like, hey, I just got an empowerment more than I would if I was like, yeah, I've got a 3-day pass. Thumbs up.
He is the master of the universe. He has the power.
Punching the ribs. Anyways, more or less with dealing with going in, I'm more or less an antisocial type person. I mean, even though if people have like listened to our podcast, I do talk a lot, but more or less I'm like, fuck people. Like, I hate crowds. I hate everything like that. But I came into this and I was just like, holy shit, there's a lot of gamers. And I mean, it's not just like gamers from around the Boston area, which, I mean, there is a shit ton of that, but like, I was bumping into people from Michigan, California, and we have a Panda's friend there from England. We were like, this is fucking awesome. I wanted to bump into a Russian too while I was at it. But, it's great, experience that I've gone through. Yeah, I love it, to death, and I have to really say thank you, Electric Sisterhood, for bringing me into this.
Aww, yeah. Tear face.
Give me a hug.
My group hug.
Yeah. Hey, where's that hand? Who's that?
I didn't do that.
Sorry.
Oh, crap. Anvil's here.
So, Panda, you've gone to a couple of events now. Anime Boston, you've been to E3. You've never been to PAX Prime.
No.
What are your first thoughts on PAX?
I mean, coming from what I heard about PAX Prime, I was expecting to see that West Coast vibe here. Obviously, the East Coast is like, fuck that, we're going to do it our way, and it's going to rock. And it did, in fact, rock. I liked the ambiance. I mean, yes, there's a lot of business going on here. You're meeting with developers, your, you know, PR contacts, all that stuff is going on. But that's like the undercurrent. I mean, you're just talking to people. You're just gaming with people. You're lounging on beanbags pretty much all day. And no one gives a rat's ass what you're doing. If you're having fun, that's all that they care about. PAX equals fun. I should have figured that out with the three letters. And it's been a lot of fun. I've really, really enjoyed this. And I'm expecting to see it grow and prosper and blossom into the true PAX that I know PAX East can be.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because they have announced that there is going to be the return of PAX next year, and I'm assuming that everybody at this table, from the sounds of it, sounds like they plan on attending.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that it will be in the same venue, or that they may have to even try to either branch venues or move to something bigger?
Actually, there's been a lot of discussion about that last night, that the venue, like the one, you know, apparently there's like a particular, you know, structure that PAX wants to have for their, you know, event. And if you don't have those qualifications, then that's not going to happen. The Heinz Convention Center, where this happens to be, technically meets the space requirement and the room requirement, which is why it's here. But, I mean, it already sold out 2 months before the event. And, I mean, I don't know if PAX Prime sold out when you went those years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, wasn't that a much bigger space? I mean...
Well, the thing about PAX Prime is that it actually takes over two convention centers that are across the street from each other and sold out, which is the reason why they decided to see if they could hold another PAX in another area and maybe split the difference.
Yeah.
And I think that it kind of shows a little bit of underestimation on their part because they figured that they were going to split the difference in their crowd, and they've sold out the crowd here.
Yeah.
So they sold, and I know, and I mean, like, we have people from West Coast even here, even though they went to PAX Prime in September. I don't think the Heinz Convention Center is big enough, and sadly, I don't think Boston has two equally sized venues close enough in that proximity to really do this.
If only the Bayside Expo Center was a little bit closer here, I think that would
have... But, you know, that's a big venue, so I don't know why... I mean, they might think about even doing it there. But, I mean, as a last minute, hey, we want to bring a PAX over there. I mean, they could have gone to any East Coast city. I mean, they could have gone to New York. I mean, New York's got big, you know, spacious buildings pretty much everywhere. But, I mean, I love the fact that they chose to come to Boston instead of a place that already has its own convention, like New York Comic Con and Origins over there close to, like, I think it's near Ohio-ish area, mid. So, I mean, I'm glad that there's now a gaming convention right here. I'd like to see them come back. I mean, if they have to do it here, I mean, obviously no one's not going to show up. So, I mean, but I mean, the venue, I think, needs to be a little bit bigger for what they're trying to go for.
Absolutely. I think, you know, just looking at how lines had to be snaked around different places and
that's
ending up in...
The lines that were going on here are nothing compared to the ones at Anime Boston. I mean, people will sit 3 hours, 4 hours before the, you know, the masquerade, and I mean, it will whine all around. I mean, the lines get horribly long. I think it's also the design of the convention center that makes it easy to wrap lines around corners, but I digress.
Well, let me ask you this. How much stuff, you know, did you guys get to actually demo and play on the floor, and how were those lines like for you?
Well, for the most part, some of the lines are okay. I think the longest we had to wait was, like, what, 10 minutes for like, one of, like, the indie games and such?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's for, like, the smaller venues. But, like, if you're going for the bigger venues, sometimes we walked up to the lines, we're like, fuck that. We'll wait for, like, the media time or something like that if we can get in, if they'll let us. Because sometimes it was kind of like that, but then the other parts it wasn't. But back to the king.
But one of the things that I was surprised about, speaking of like the early press venue, that Rockstar was not even doing anything for the early press. They made us wait to try out Red Dead Redemption, which I even haven't had a chance to play.
Oh,
as
that
we
line!
Speak.
That line was a hoot hoot, and by a hoot hoot, I mean a suck suck.
Yeah.
And not a good suck.
Fuck
no. It was
they
a
were.
Cheap
they
suck.
Did. Rockstar didn't. I mean, they were slowly letting press in, I think 5 minutes in, but the demo is easily like 15 to 25 minutes long. So that 5 minute cushion wasn't enough to even get three media people out of the booth to send in three more.
Yeah.
So I mean, the line was already pretty long with media alone. And then as soon as the floodgates happened, well, fuck all to hell.
Yeah.
I know.
So wait, so how many were officially in the booth again? Like, just like what?
I think there were about 7 TV setups. I think there might have been some behind where I was, but I was, like, at that first one the minute you go through the curtain. So, I mean, like, I went straight to my demo. And, I mean, literally, while we're sitting there waiting, a lot of the media were just like, this is unbelievable. Everybody else is, you know, they're sitting there talking, they're filming, and Rockstar's like, no, we're not going to start yet. And apparently, and this is speculation, I'm not quoting any direct, you know, facts here, but I got my demo from the project manager, a very nice man, and he wasn't even supposed to be doing demos, but because some staff was missing from maybe partying a little too hard.
Well, you know those rock star people.
They're rock stars. They party like rock stars.
Yeah, with that said, I think they need to lay off the coke, more or less, because of the fact that they're probably so fucking high to bring in just 7 fucking things. I mean, when we dealt with 2K...
There might have been... I'll just say that there's 10, because I'm going to assume, since there were 3 behind...
Yeah.
So there were 3 behind where I was. I just couldn't see them, because, I mean, like I said, I went straight into my demo. So let's say they had 10 screens. I think probably 5 of them would be PS3, and the other 5 were 360, and I was on a 360 machine.
Yeah, they need to work their shit out a little bit better. I mean... The other thing that was kind of worrying me, but I mean, not to be negative about 2K, but it definitely was kind of like, it was definitely a fascist feeling sense. Like, I felt like I was in Nazi Germany. Like, it felt like, oh shit.
Work
you know,
will
like,
set you free.
They're yeah. like, get in the knot line that is here for media. You know, they were like, you gotta stand there and say that you're not in line, but people kept on trying to get behind us. We're like, are you media? They're like, no. Do you have an appointment? No. You're going to have to go talk to them, because you're probably only going to be able to play Bioshock 2. And I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Bioshock 2 is already out in stores. Son of a bitch. Why are you even giving us that? But then also, we were able to get in, and it was kind of weird. We didn't get to actually physically play Civilization 5.
Yeah.
It was a theater kind of setup.
Yeah, all it was like... Just a PR guy and one of the, I wouldn't say head producer, but one of like the game designers is showing off like for 20 minutes like what they are currently working on. And we're not even able to discuss like what they were showing and stuff. It looked gorgeous, just to let everybody know.
Yes.
But just having to deal with all that and not be able to get hands on with Civilization V kind of pissed me off.
Yeah, I tried to pull out my recorder, and, you know, I put it under my hand on my lap. I was just like, okay, gonna record this, gaty gaty, you know? And then they were just like, okay, guys, this is our, you know, badass computer, blah, blah, blah. All right, after saying that, we're gonna get started. Now I have to tell you, put your cameras and all that other shit away, because you cannot record blah, 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 this and that. And I went, Deej, son of a bitch. I was waiting for them to yell at me because I was right in front of them.
I think he might have been eyeing you.
Yeah, he was eyeing me too.
I wasn't there, but I feel he was totally eyeing you.
More or less along those lines, I was like, son of a bitch. I was like, this really sucks. And, you know, and that was the other thing, like, the people that they had, you know, presenting a lot of the stuff, they didn't know what the hell was going on in the first place. Like, you could ask them, like, the minor questions, but when you went to go and say, okay, so what else is going on here, and blah, 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 they're like, it was kind of like, I cannot confirm or deny, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, are you guys under, like, a clause or a contract or something?
Probably an embargo.
Yeah,
probably.
Exactly. So I was kind of like, I felt, like I said, Nazi Germany. I was kind of like, I kind of feel uncomfortable. But I do have to understand and respect the whole, you know, we're putting on a game sense, and we want to make sure that we kind of keep it as secretive. Playing Mafia 2, the King got to play it, so let me give your perspective. And
well,
give
I really didn't get much into the mission mode. I was more of driving around, beating people up, and running them over, and
shooting
such.
Random people.
Like Grand Theft Auto.
I know this sounds sadistic, but I enjoy doing that in the Grand Theft Auto games and the Saint Row games because it's a good stress reliever.
Absolutely, absolutely. Unless you play with this one who likes to just, you know, shoot police in the face.
And
run!
Okay, are you starting up a hardcore rap band with Ice-T playing Cop Killer? Is that what you're doing?
I'm sorry, but that's the only place that I know that I could shoot a cop in the face and I have a chance. A better chance of getting away in a game than in actuality, because at least you can. I can't jack a car in real life. I'd be like, shit, just open.
But
that's it. We're done.
That's it.
Hands up in the air.
But what's cool about Mafia 2 is even when the cops caught you, you can right off the bat just bribe them, and they'll just walk away. Whereas in Grand Theft,
why didn't they do that in Grand Theft? It's like, no, I'm Nico Bellic. I got lots of money.
Yeah.
I shop at the really nice clothes shop here.
Yeah, here's some money.
Well,
they should implement that. That'd be great.
I think what they're probably going to implement on that is, it kind of has a Chicago feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if that could get into the point where there's, like, the untouchables, like, if you bring that into the case, it'd be like, fine, here's some money, just leave me alone. Oh, now you got a bribery on the cop. Oh, it's going to be a hell of a lot worse. But they'd probably be like, yeah, you're going to go through a court case on this? No. They don't want to give you that real aspect. That was just like, here's some money. Okay, you're free to go. After seeing that I just saw you steal a car and shoot somebody, you know.
Now, we were listening to a lot of the voice actors, and I think I heard Big Pussy from The Sopranos in there.
Yes, I believe he was in there. They brought in a lot of the Italian-type styles. I mean, that's basically what the Mafian setup is. More or less, it's not like the first one. It's kind of weaning away from, like, the 1930s into the 1940s because you're starting to see, like, the Cadillac setups, like,
okay.
The old style, like, the nice 1940s to 50s Cadillac style. But this, you're not seeing the, well, you kind of saw the old wood wagons, like, as I call them. They did a really nice design job on those. But along the lines of playing the game, you know, there was a part where you dealt with the a scenario that they gave you. I'm not trying to go over what it is, but when you're trying to get into the car to chase the sons of bitches, you're trying to get them, and you're like, why the fuck isn't this car going faster? And then I heard the line, he's just like, dude, step on it, dude, the pedals to the floor, this thing got no friggin' power. So I was kind of like, great, they gave you that kind of the reality of the shitty cars back in the day. But yeah, after all that, I mean, the PR person was really nice. What was her name again?
Jenny Sue.
Yeah, she was really
great. She felt
great.
Really bad about the situation too.
They may have accidentally double booked, and then also like they kind of went, you know, 15 minutes. Like they had like a 15 minutes interval. Like, I mean, we were waiting there at our time that we got there for like maybe 20 minutes, and then they tacked on the 15 minutes. So we were there for about maybe, I don't know, under 45 minutes. Just waiting to go and check out Civilization 5 and then play the Mafia 2 game. But after all, it was a great setup. I was happy about that after finally getting to play it.
So in talking about the event as a whole, one of the things about PAX and that they've always prided themselves on is being about the people. You know, bringing games and demos and things to the group of gamers that, you know, otherwise wouldn't be able to go. You know, we can go to E3. We can get into E3. Not everybody can. And so in looking at the crowds and how things moved, what were some of the things that you were observing about the crowds? Like, where were they going? Where were they moving? What seemed to be, like, the most interesting things to them? And what were kind of some what-the-fuck moments for you when you were looking at the crowds?
I was really noticing a lot of people were going near, like, Alienware and NVIDIA, around those places, because they were holding, like, tournaments, and people were just going crazy as people are racing each other on Portal, and even World of Warcraft. And then we were also looking over at EA where they got Skate 3, and everyone's just going ooh and ah at this one game where you skate off, and you basically the more you get hurt, the more points you earn.
Well, yeah, that's basically on Skate 2, I believe.
Skate 3.
No, that I'm saying it's on Skate 2 as well, but they've updated it and made it crazier, because when you see the guy crash down, you're hearing the bones crunching and you're seeing the actual skeletal like structure getting crunched in and just getting just fucked up. It was beautiful, and people are just like, all you're hearing is, oh, damn it, that looked like it hurt. It was really funny.
And you quickly forget that this is not a real person that's on the screen. That's how realistic it looks.
Along those lines, I mean, there was the people that were hopping at the Alienware, they were playing Alienware tournaments. They were, I think it was mainly because of the tournaments, people were able to play the games and actually win shit. Like, if you win at the Skate 3, you could actually win an actual skateboard.
Right.
Like, a skateboard deck, not, like, a full skateboard, but it's a workable skateboard. I was definitely blown away by that, and I'm hoping that if I get in there today and try it, and hopefully I can win one.
Well, the thing is, it's like over 70,000 points if you
get
that.
Yeah, and if you get the highest score of the day, I think out of the 3 days, they put those three in a raffle, and whoever gets picked out of that will get an Xbox Elite and their game franchise.
Yeah, custom Skate 3 decked out.
Woo-hoo.
Xbox Elite and a deck and a copy of the game. And
so go out there and get hurt.
Yeah.
Because you'll get shit.
But only in games.
Only in games,
not
in real life.
If you fall off your skateboard in real life, the only thing you're going to win is a trip to the emergency room.
Oh, too late.
And possibly the morgue.
We just killed a bunch of our viewers.
Oh, damn it. I hate when I do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when I love the, I was looking at Split Second, and I was looking at this because of Pure. I played the game, I own the game Pure, and I was playing this, and I was always blown away by the graphics, and I found out Disney and Black Rock Studios were back at it again, and they created Split Second. I was like, fuck yeah. And, I mean, right now they weren't showing its graphics, like, they weren't, like, putting out their best foot forward on the graphics in that sense, but the game itself was so much fun. And we were able to talk to them, and hopefully we've gotten onto their email list and hopefully get a review in for them. I mean, that's the best thing about doing this, is being able to actually go up to them and be like, okay, we're part of this group, and, we want to be able to review and get ourselves out there. We want to be able to, get your stuff out there, too. We want to tell the pros and cons of the games.
Mm-hmm. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell friends.
And we can be friends.
Yes.
I want to mention, too, even though I lost at this game, I was having the time of my life. And usually when it comes to racing, even with, like, the Mario Kart Wii, you get so frustrated when you lose. But Split Second, I felt, okay, I lost, big deal. It looked like it was a hell of a lot of fun.
Now, do you think that there was really a lot of awareness of Split Second? Because I really didn't know anything about
Me
it.
Neither.
I didn't really know that I was going to be here until I walked by it after leaving Gunner.
Because, well, we saw that Disney was listed on the PAX East thing, and to be honest, I thought they were going to start showing off Epic Mickey.
Right.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I was like, okay, Epic Mickey's going to be shown. But when we walked up, there was, two on both sides, four ways, I don't know, there was about 8 screens that they had all together, and you were able to play, not against each other, but against the computers, and it was definitely impressive. And I was kind of like, okay, where's the Disney Mickey? I want it.
Believe it or not, there was some speculation, we were talking about this last night, that, a lot of the games that are here are coming out within the next 2 months, because everyone's kind of holding their big shit for
E3.
So none of them were going to... There was probably a very slim chance that anything new that we have not seen at all was going to be showcased here.
True, but I mean, in histories of PAX, PAX really hasn't been the place that development companies have gone to make their big announcements.
Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of shocked with Nintendo specifically, because if I'm not mistaken, Metroid Other M comes out next month or something, and they didn't even show it off here at PAX East.
There's a very thin veil of Nintendo here.
Yeah, not kidding.
There's barely any.
Well, I mean, think about it. There's some Nintendo. Microsoft definitely has a showing here, and they have lots of gaming booths that are set up. For people to come through and try Game Room as well as Limbo and some other games, but Sony's not here.
No.
No,
and,
I'm surprised.
You know, so
I think PAX East, since we're brand new, we're in our baby learning phase, mm-hmm. that they want to see us grow up a little bit more. I mean,
they haven't attended PAXes in the past
either.
But Harmonix isn't here. Square Enix isn't here.
Harmonix is here.
There's no booth for them.
Yeah, the Rock Band Nation. They took over that entire booth.
Okay.
So they're
here. They have their own special Oreos.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're here, especially because they're based out of Cambridge. It's like taking three cabs down here and boom, they're done.
All right, so Blanc and I got to check that out.
But you're right. Square Enix definitely isn't here. And
I saw a lot of Square Enix cosplayers.
There are lots of cosplayers. I have to say, there were more cosplayers at PAX East than at PAX Prime.
Yes, but there were less. It's weird, because even though there are more of them here, Anime Boston last year had more gaming cosplay than anime cosplay.
But I've also noticed that here at like PAX East, you mentioned all the cosplayers, but I find that there aren't, you know, first and foremost, there aren't as many as at Anime Boston, because it feels like gamers are more incognito than some of the otaku. And would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would completely agree with that.
Although I wish I could have an army of two get up and walk the hell around here, that would get Boston Mass Brigade out and out a little bit more. But I just been trying to design that setup, and it's been a son of a bitch. I gotta get me a Jason mask and put the Play-Doh over the top of it, let it harden, and then paint. I'm not good at arts and crafts.
But you can try. Maybe really pretty much.
I made a turkey with my hands.
Exactly.
I did that one time, and then I made a star, and then I made a chicken, and then I made an L. But, you know, in talking about it, we've definitely more cosplayers on Saturday than on Friday.
Yeah, what was it? I saw one of the guys with the Gears of War set up, and then also there was the Fallout guy. He had a pretty badass costume. Mm-hmm. Some other ones I didn't really recognize. I was kind of like, who the fuck are you? You know, you look like Beauty and the Beast.
There were some people.
Yep. I saw that. You see that shepherd?
Yeah, I saw the shepherd.
That was a good shepherd.
Shepherd as a woman. Woo-hoo.
Yep.
There was...
I saw Link.
Yes,
I saw like another
Link.
One. The Link was... She was. It was a girl. And you were like... Wait.
Cosplayer.
Yeah.
there was also one anime cosplayer. When I was over at the Rock Band Free PlayStation, she was just sitting there from Bleach, and I'm just like... I appreciate your effort. Wrong place.
Yeah.
I was talking with someone on our way back from Jonathan Colton. They said they saw someone dressed as Eureka from Eureka 7.
So, I mean, unless there are games out in Japan, which I wouldn't be surprised if
there are.
So, I mean, there's a blurry line between, you know, what you can get away with. And I'm definitely positive that there's a Bleach game. So
yeah,
that's
Bleach Shatterblade for the Wii.
So that's probably where she was coming from. I mean, it didn't click to me there first, since primarily when I see it, I think, anime!
Yeah, there was that weird guy in the cafeteria that had the green Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes, which I totally didn't understand. I'm like, that should be red.
I think he was practicing it, and he came to realize, damn it, wrong color, I gotta do this all over again by next week.
Like, another small game that popped out at me that I have in front of me is Monday Night Combat. It kind of was like, if you ever seen that crappy movie called Rollerball, and
yes.
Or otherwise, to compare it in a game sense, I actually almost confused it because it looked and kind of seemed like that at first glance of Team Fortress 2. And I was just like, is that another Team Fortress? What the fuck? I didn't see that on Valve. These are new updates. And I looked at it, I was like, Monday Night Combat. What the fuck? And watching a lot of the people play, because I wanted to get my hands on it, but I wasn't that lucky yet, but it will be coming out soon on, like, Xbox Arcade and maybe PC, probably Steam or something like that.
Okay.
And it's by Uber Entertainment, and I was definitely blown away. It's beautiful in every graphical sense, and also it's badass because one of the characters is actually based off one of the guys who does the designing. He has a martial arts background.
Okay.
So he was able to take and do all the movements, record it, and then bring it into the game. So if you have like one of these, I call him like a ninja type person. I'm not exactly sure what the person's called, So don't quote me on
this. A shinobi?
Yeah, basically a shinobi. He is based off one of the movements from the characters, and you'll see him, like, flip around his swords and do flips around the character to beat the crap out of him. It's very impressive, and I'm like I said, blown out of the water because of how this setting is.
Although I would have loved to have seen the blooper reel for that video.
Yes, I would have.
I was like, all right, we're going to do headlit.
Because he was crazy. Like, he was, the sword play he was doing flips off the wall. I'm like, dude, you're a gamer. You're not supposed to be able to do that shit. What the hell's wrong with you?
You're setting a bad example for the rest of us.
I know. I can't, well, I can do
like,
backflips.
I'm never going to reach that expectation. I can barely walk in a straight line.
True that.
Or jump.
Yeah, you had to drag, you were dragging us behind, literally.
I was. I have shorter legs than most people.
Especially compared to the bastards.
Compared to the bastards, I have shorter legs. So they're all like, whoosh, and I'm like,
power walking.
Guys, wait.
Yeah, so what I was thinking was we could have just attached a line to my backpack, and she could have just dragged as a wakeboard setup and just put it on a slip for. I mean, this is perfectly waxed.
She could have
floor,
pulled
and
tricks
and
everything
pulled.
Going, shoo!
Could have done rave.
And then I could have jumped out in the back with like a score doubler. Two times! Three times, multiply.
That rave. What was that game for N64 when you were on the jet skis? Rave
Jet Moto.
No,
not Jet Moto.
Rave Race 64.
Wave Racer.
Yeah.
I was just like, do a barrel roll.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. But that obviously didn't happen. I didn't feel too comfortable.
But getting back to like the whole actual play of it, I mean, I felt that the ones that were really coming out into the play was the lower end games that you're gonna just be able to buy right off the arcade. I mean, like the arcade settings on your systems. I mean, like if you take WiiWare, they weren't really putting things out there too much today. I mean, and also the whole weekend. But like looking at the Monday Night Combat, we talked to the guy. He says, you know what I'm tired of is having to get the hell up, open up the CD tray, and I know this sounds lazy, and putting the damn disc. Because just because sometimes you just want to just plop down, you got your controller already in hand, go, pop on the game and go, ah, fuck, I have that game in the tray, I don't really want to play that. You know, it's like, fuck, now I have to get up. I'm already comfortable from the longest goddamn day at work that I had to do today and taking on all the bullshit. I mean, I feel them on that because I have my long days too, and I just want to plop down and not have to, like, no, not that. I mean, but that's a lazy gamer for you.
Well, I don't even think that it's a lazy gamer. I mean, we're living in an age of digital distribution. There are movies on demand
and
now,
push buttons.
Music on demand now. There are even, you know, I think we've gotten really comfortable with how you can purchase games through Xbox Live, and you can run copies of things off to your machine. So, you know, digital distribution, I think, is definitely the way that the industry is trending towards.
Yeah, no product placement in play here, but this other company called Play Now, they have a setup where you can get
Play
like,
On.
Oh, I'm sorry, Play On.
Dyslexic Fail.
Yes, Dyslexic Fail.
Dyslexic Disfail.
But you're able to get Hulu, Netflix, YouTube, and all this other stuff by their system. And I bought in on it, and I'm going to write a review, and I'm going to try it out. And I was trying to see if we could get it set up that, like, can you get this straight to the laptop? Because I'm kind of tired of trying to go on these other websites that's supposed to be illegal and everything like that, so I can watch some damn Bruins at night when I'm at work. But he says that it's not really for that quite yet, but you could just go to Hulu and all those other things to watch your programs. Yeah, this is definitely, I'm going to give this a try, and I'm going to give a good, try to give the best review I possibly can for trying out all their stuff that they have. But yeah, they're like, this is a sweet deal. Like, they're usually $40, and they gave us a deal of like half off, except for taxes, which is, that's, you know, Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's
I mean, awesome. Yeah, that's the other issue. It's like, why couldn't they have like kept like, you know, PAX East is like, yeah, we're not really, or otherwise, why couldn't they have put it up in New Hampshire? You know? I would have been like, ka-ching! No taxes! But, yeah, it was great. Like, we got another game here, Joe Danger. I mean, it was kind of like the little side-scroller bike racing game.
Excite Bike,
you know, that it was on WiiWare, but it's going to be only, I think, on Wii and PS3. And they said nothing on 360 quite yet, or never.
Basically, the premise of Joe Danger is you're, like, a stuntman and you have to do all the tricks and such to impress the crowd, and the more you do, the higher your score is, and the higher you get your score, the more levels you unlock. It was pretty impressive, and it was pretty funny too when you drop, like when you fall into like the shark tank and you see yourself getting eaten. It's great.
Now, somebody else that we were talking to a little bit earlier this morning, he kind of left. We came out of left field, and that was the beauty of it. We were able to talk to them, and oh shit, here comes the running of the bulls.
Hell descends upon us again.
Yes.
Yeah, but not typically in our direction, because they're heading that way towards the nerd.
We were walking around, and we saw this kid playing guitar. We're like, oh, that's cool. You know, what are they trying to sell here? And we thought it was just going to be another Rock Band game. Well, it's kind of like another Rock Band game, except without the drum set. More or less along the lines
of Guitar
Hero.
So it's like
Guitar
Hero.
So, but it's called Power Gig, and it's called The Rise of the Sixth String. And these motherfuckers have stolen a goddamn idea out of my brain. God damn it.
Did you get a chip installed, too? Because lately I've noticed that after I got this chip installed, all my great ideas end up on TV, other than radio, like the Snuggie.
Yes.
That was totally my idea, too.
So we have you to blame for that.
Yes.
Someone stole my idea wearing
a
bathrobe backwards.
Yeah, but we didn't make the money off of it. So.
Yeah. But this is actually based on, you're going to be able to actually use a real guitar to play the game. Instead of like the whole, hey, I've got a plastic little switch thing here that I strum, and then I hold buttons.
Hey, don't knock the peripherals.
But in the other sense, I really like thought, you know, why couldn't we get a game that was set up with the actual six string and be able to teach these sons of bitches how to play guitar instead of like, yeah, I rock it, you know, Rock Band and blah, 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 thousands and millions of points and stuff. But
here's a real guitar. See what you can do.
I didn't know, but I believe South Park did a spoof on that.
Guitar Quiero was the episode.
Yes, yes. I actually
Look, guys, I can actually play it.
I can play acoustic.
Oh, my God, I love this song.
Yes, but this kid was actually able to play the guitar straight out. He was playing all the song. He was just playing the song straight out. They didn't show like any of the actual game peripherals, like how it was going to be. But from what we heard of word of mouth, and we're trying to actually talk with the guys and get with them about this because they're in the actual local area, and talk to them about okay, what's the game going to look like and how is it going to work? And what we were hearing was that they are going to play, have that set up how you could play like Rock Band, but it's not going to be as intense. You know, you're going to be able to do it like regular, or otherwise they're going to have a section where you can go in and actually learn how to play the guitar, and then maybe down the road you can go to somebody and start learning a little bit more from an actual person that teaches guitar lessons.
Well, peripherals like, you know, and setups like what Gig are doing are really important because, you know, the running rumor right now about Rock Band 3, which has been announced that it will ship in holiday, more than likely we will see, you know, the biggest pieces of it at E3, is that there are going to be modes in it that are more designed to teach people how to play. You know, the idea that the two guys from MIT had always was to get people interested in learning how to play music and how can we do that. And so I think we've finally got to a point evolutionized with technology where you can do something like have an actual six string that can trigger events electronically in a console. You know, you can already do that on a computer. I mean, you can plug in a guitar into Logic, into Pro Tools, and you can have it trigger any instrument that you want. But how do you translate that into an affordable unit that Joe Schmo off the street could pick up?
Yeah, that's the one thing that, you know, I probably back in the day with my father, he's always like a rabid, you know, guitar player. And he was like, you know, and he saw video games and hell, I remember playing the Sega Genesis, and we bought the golf game setup where you could actually, there was like a laser at the end of the golf club, and you'd be able to swing it, and it would perform onto the game. He was like, you know what, this is going to be a wave of the future. And I was like, this is definitely a wave of the future, and we need, you know, to get on that. And then you got Wii coming out, but it doesn't really feel the same, even with the damn attachment to the controller. But yet, if they could just keep on going and moving up to making it more of the virtual reality that we had back in, like, the 90s and 80s, where it was, like, the headgear and all that other stuff, I would be really happy to see that, you know, especially with TV glasses.
Those Gunner glasses, yeah. That make me real happy.
3D Gunner glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm for that. I vote pro.
And also, like, the information gets shot right onto the screen, and you're able to see everything right there and then.
That'll work for me.
You'll be in classes or at work just playing a video game right there with your controller under the table. And nobody knows.
Something else is going on.
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
I'm playing with my joystick.
Is that your O-face?
Oops.
No, actually, my O-face is this.
Oh, you guys missed something there. That was special.
It was classic.
That was pretty.
So, in talking of stuff going on, because we haven't really touched on panels yet, I know all of us have hit at least a panel here. That's one of the things that are pretty big at PAX. So, I'd like to start with...
No, we need to start with you.
You.
We haven't...
I'm a moderator.
You barely uttered more than 3 sentences.
And I can relate to Ninja Sister with all that.
I just want to give her time to speak. Because sometimes I like to walk over.
You're trying to figure out what the fuck you're
going to say. No, I don't know what to say because I've went to about 3 panels.
Fine. I'll take the mic of 1,000 truths. So I went to 3 different panels. The one that I enjoyed the most was actually hosted by our friend Chris Palladino. Arnie Meyer from Naughty Dog, Stephanie Tinsley Shop from Tinsley PR, and Aram, I can't pronounce your last name, I'm really sorry because I don't have your card in front of me, from Atlas. And it was basically talking about the behind-the-scenes working of how PR works and wants to work and grow in the industry. And it was really eye-opening for me because a lot of the things that they were talking about were things that we had either organically grown to, but there were lots of things that they were talking about that we really didn't have any idea about, and it was really honest conversation. You know, one person asked them a question, you know, what's the best thing about your job and what's the worst thing about your job? And Stephanie said, you know, the worst thing about my job is having to say no. Having to say no sucks. She goes, I fucking hate it, but I have to do it. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're accountable to people. We have numbers that we have to meet.
We have people that we have to talk to.
You know,
that we have to answer
to. We want to get things out in front of gamers and enthusiast press because those are the people that really play through games, that really get a good feel of what something is, and share a good experience or bad experience with people for a good reason. Not just because they have to get a review out and they have to give something 7 out of 10 this week, but really we'll dive into it and bring together really useful things. But at the same time, we have to account if we give them something or send something, what that return will be. And so it sucks that I can't say, you know, yes, we can get you a review on it, or we can get you an early release, because we just can't do that for everybody. Sometimes we can't do that for some of the more well-established enthusiast press and things like that. She goes, and so it really sucks. She goes, but, you know, just because we say no doesn't mean that we don't like you or you have any less value. And that was the thing that was really invigorating for me to hear and refreshing, because a lot of times in conversations that I've tried to have with different PR people, with different people in the industry, it's come off as a, oh, you're not Kotaku. You're so cute though.
Oh, you're not Destructoid.
They don't have a sticker.
You're not one up. You're so cute.
You're adorable though. Did anybody ever tell you have a dimple right here? It's so cute. Okay, I gotta go. Hi, Major Nelson. You know, those types of things. And it was really refreshing to hear from people who are in the industry, who've worked for multiple companies, go, we don't value you any less than anybody else. You may not be able to work on this particular thing right at this particular point.
That doesn't mean next time around that we don't have you in mind.
You're not on the list, that you're not valuable. And so...
Yes, that was a very good panel.
It was a really
good panel. I felt really good coming out of that panel.
And, you know, to also hear how much, you know, they invest in time and effort into enthusiast media and community media and things like that really made me feel like this is definitely the vein I need to be in, because they do respect what it is that we do. They do respect that, you know, communities built by gamers that talk to gamers are probably better at it than anything else, you know, than traditional media. So that panel I really, really enjoyed, and I got a lot out of it, and it was just refreshing to hear obviously other gamers on the panel and realize that yes, you can transition as being a gamer and working in an industry.
Agreed. And
yeah.
And when we're walking around here dealing with a lot of the developers too, mentioning that we are from the Boston Bastion Brigade, we're not being shunned or anything. They're like, oh my god, that's an awesome name.
That's a funny fucking name right there.
And what's great about it too is like, okay, you know, we'll let you review some stuff. Granted, you're gonna have to work your way from the bottom you know, the small stuff before you get to the really big shit, which is completely understandable. Mm-hmm. But they're giving us a chance.
If you must trudge in the mire, then you will trudge in the mire. Yeah.
Well, point in case, the funny thing with Muzzy Lane, this is a great company, and we got an email from them, and they, you know, King said, "Hey, have you ever heard of Muzzy Lane?" I said, "No, not really. I but what do they do?" And they do real-time strategy. And I was like, "Fuck yeah, I'm all about real-time strategy." So then I went and bought the game online, you know, for cheap because they had it out for like 3 years now, and I was able to find it on Amazon. I got the game, and I was able to play it, and I can't stop playing it. It was fucking just amazing. So what I did was I actually had the case with me, and I went up to the thing, and I went up to the guy. He says, "Hi, how you doing?" I said, "Hold on 1 second." I opened up my bag, and I pulled out the game, and I said, "Motherfucker, I can't stop playing this goddamn game." I pulled out the card, and I said, "Here, I'm from the Boston Bastion Brigade. You've got to tell me about the new one right now, right here." You know, and I was able to talk with him and get a whole, like, kind of, like, personal interview. Stupid me didn't pull out the recorder and do it at the time. But, I mean, because I got into, like, an actual, like a passionate, like, actual talk with it, because he loved actually talking with me, because we were able to just go back and forth. It was like a nice little tennis match that we were able to go, okay, now what part about this game, you know, understanding like how you did everything with the first game, and what are you doing to make it better on the second game? And he showed me so much that they put into the second game that I'm like, holy fuck, I'm going to be doing more multitasking than I'm ever going to do before when I was playing the first Making the History game. And I went, fuck me, this is going to be crazy when I get my hands on the second one. And he the coolest thing about that was he understood, like, we got in contact with, like, they sent us an email, we tried to get in contact with them, but, you know, things are the way they are. People are busy, they can't always get back to us. But when we got there, he opened up with, like, welcoming arms and, like, showed us, like, everything. And he sat down with us. He says, "You know what, after the interview, we shook hands." He says, "We got your card." He gave us his card. He's like, "Keep in contact with us. We'll send you the beta when it comes out for the next one. We're going to be trying to push this out as soon as we possibly can." And I was wicked happy about that, because I was not expecting that at all. I was expecting, like, "Yeah, great for playing a game. Get the fuck out of here." That's what I'm usually expecting. Like, that's the one thing. But when I was coming in here, it was like, hey, these, you know, people are actually friggin' cool. And especially dealing with, like, the actual guys that has either been since the starting of it or have come in halfway, and they understand, like, what they've had to do. They've had to put in damn man hours to make this game and to make it what it is when it comes out actually in full form.
Yeah, another really good example is this one created by students from DePaul University in Chicago, Devil's Tuning Fork. This is, like, what the actual game looks like. It's all, like, multicolored lines and such. Basically, the premise is you're in a coma. You have to save, like, children that are also in comas, but you can only use the power of sound and sonar to move around and open up doors and such.
It's really cool.
It is, like, I was thinking, you know what? They could take and turn this development game towards the military for the guys who actually do sonar in the subs and everything like that, because these guys they're going by pictures of sounds in their head, so they have to go through the class that, you know, they're sitting in, like, a room and they're hearing a pinging sound. They're like, okay, what was that? You know, something's out there, you know, I have to figure out what it was. Was that a piece of land, or was that an actual person thing that was out there in the water? Was it wheels? So they got to learn how to listen, and this is a good way to be able to do that, because they went from the guy told me, he said, we went from, like, so many things. We were like Echo the Dolphin, as silly as that was, and then we went into finding this kid who actually does clicking sounds with his mouth, that when it bounces off, he's able to hear it, and he says, okay, I know what distance I am from certain things. So they were doing a great job on their research in order to get this game put together and put out as is. I mean,
it took them six months.
Wow.
I went, holy shit, that is insane, especially with dealing with classes and everything in between.
Now, granted, the game isn't officially completed yet, but if you go on the Devil's Tuning Fork website, you can, like, try out, like, the first couple levels.
Okay.
And I was completely blown away by this concept. I've never seen a video game like this at all. And then when we were sitting down and chatting with one of the developers of this game, he was cool, he was laid back, he was excited about this. He was unsure if they would ever complete this game, because a lot of the kids are graduating.
Right.
But I have a good feeling that one of these developers here, one of these big-name developers, is taking notice of this and is going to help them finish it and have it be released. Maybe as a WiiWare title or for Xbox Live Arcade, but it's
PSN,
gonna.
There's definitely a lot more acceptance and attention now being paid to things coming up through the Indiecade because they are turning into great live titles, WiiWare titles, PSN titles, portable titles, and then also transitioning into great game titles. I mean, you look at stuff like Lucidity, and you look at stuff like, which, you know, Lucidity was done by LucasArts.
Ghostbuster.
But you look at, you know, stuff like The Mall, which came up through the Indiecade showcase from PAX last year and was a huge selling, great game on Xbox Live. You know, I think that one of the things that we're seeing in the industry is a transition into appreciation of the independent now as opposed to fear. You know, you look at press like us, which are independent press, and more PR companies, developers are listening, attentive, and trying to work a relationship in because they appreciate it. Indiecade is growing, you know, independent games, both things, I mean, especially on the iPhone. How many different games and game companies now exist because development for mobile has become so huge.
Now, the one thing I have to say about this is also they were able to do kind of like a mind fuck with you because of the audio that they put in. They also, I was just like, did you guys go to, like, you know, the sociology, you know, guys of the college? Like, no, but that would have been a good idea because they were fucking with, they're basically, they have a voice inside, you know, that is trying to fuck with you because it's in your head.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like more of a mental Freddy Krueger than a physical Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Okay. But with this, dealing with the with their interview and the PR guy that we're pretty cool with now because we've been seeing him on like a daily basis now.
We just saw him even today.
Yeah, we saw him this morning. We're like, hey, he's just like, hey guys, you know, what's going on? But when I left the table, when I was like leaving the table, I shook his hand. And I said, you know what, man, none for nothing. If this game doesn't get done, but you could show this to somebody and you get into something, I definitely look forward to your career and I hope to see like you go up big in the gaming because this is very impressive how you did this and how you guys handled it.
This could be
like, this is kicking ass.
This could be the next Portal. That's how good it is.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I like to be able to do is like, I wanted to get that feeling of like, dude, and he probably loved that I said that. I was just like, dude, I look forward to your career. And, like, that's the main thing that we want to do is get together with these companies, be like, you know what? You guys are trying to make a career out of this, and you're trying to go as much as you can. I mean, the economy's up, the economy's down, you know, all that other fun stuff. But when you guys go out there and you develop a game, you know, whether it's going to be either, like, a giveaway or something like that, you're still going to do that, and that's going to cause you to get even a better job maybe down the road, and you're going to be able to live the lifestyle that you want to, you know, when you're developing games for people to play. So definitely, it was definitely an interesting interview to do with that one. It was definitely, I got a lot of experience out of that one just because of that guy.
So. Okay, Panda, your panel.
The big one that I had, I'm not saying that the first one that we both went to wasn't fun, but I actually got into the podcasting for PR, which had probably one of the hugest lines for panels. Believe it or not, the line aspect for panels was I'm not going to say bad, but I mean it was frustrating because, you know, media doesn't get their special treatment. Not that I'm expecting it to, because I actually like the fact that everyone was equal. You spend your time in the line and then you get your due. But I mean, some of the halls here in the Heinz Convention Center are a lot smaller, and I've noticed that they put a lot of, you know, hard hitting panels that a lot of people were like, oh yeah, I totally want to check that out, into the smaller panels so that, you know, only so many people.
I think it surprised them how many people wanted to attend some of those panels. I don't, you know, I heard some of the speakers of the panel that we went to for the behind the scenes hands of PR walk by us, go, shit, do these people realize that this isn't the line for the keynote? Like, they were surprised that there were that many people
that opted to go to see them and not go to the keynote.
Yeah.
But I mean, so some of the spaces aren't, you know, really big. And I mean, not to mention, I think they were choosing a lot of the smaller because I think they wanted to gauge. I think they wanted to see so that maybe next PAX East they'll have big enough venue, you know, big enough spaces for a big allotment. So I mean, thanks to a good friend of mine, Kropotkin from Suburban Fun Time Show, he was already in line. And I just scooted in with him.
So you cut the line?
Yeah. Well, no. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
I cut the line.
Yeah.
He was there, and he's like, well, I was planning to hang out with him anyway, and he had my Jaffa cakes, and I had to get those, which are delicious, by the way.
He had your what-a cakes?
My Jaffa cakes.
Is that another word for butt cakes?
No, it's not. No. It's a cookie.
Are you sure?
It's a cookie. You had one.
He had your cookies?
Yes. He had my cookies. I had to get them back. Or rather, I had to get them first because he had them, and I had to get them.
You should always get your cookies.
But I ended up going in with him, and you know, Major Nelson was a part of this panel. Julian Murdoch was there. Jeff Green, Ken Levine from Irrational Games. And, you know, they were just talking about, you know, being the face that everyone, like, when things go bad in an industry, and you're that face guy. You're going to deal with animosity. You're going to come across hostility. I mean, when things are good, that's great. But you need to be able to, I think Major Nelson had said, you know, it's fine when it's sunshine and rainbows, but when that rain comes and that storm comes, it's like, you know you don't want to deal with it, but you get up, you put your raincoat on, and you just deal with it. He's like, you just, you know, and they talked about all the different, you know, mindsets, you know, like playing defense, you know, like when you overprotect something in your, you know, company, or you overly defend something, you make it a lot worse. I mean, they were just giving, you know, tips about being a face. So, I mean, if you're a small podcasting group or an editorial site, kind of like what we are, if you're planning to be a face, then you need to come to realize that this stuff will come to you, and you'll have to learn how to deal with that grace under fire. And it was eye-opening, and I was like, oh my god, I'm like, I feel like they're talking directly at me, and then, you know, in the same sense, they kind of were talking directly at me and other people, but it was loud, so there were many other people. My ears are not that, you know, canceling that only I hear things, but I mean, I felt like they were talking to all of us who are doing what they've been, you know, where they are now. They were what we are now. Yeah, I think that's what I want to say. And I mean, they acknowledged that, you know, we're on that pathway, and they wanted to give us a better footing in the direction of possibly being a figurehead for a company, or a developer or a publisher, or, you know, a company. And it was hilarious because, you know, they all come from different, they're coming all from different, you know, companies. They have experiences with each other, and they had, you know, audio to match with it. So, you know, it's like, oh, well, there was this when you were on this guy's show, and then this happened, and then, you know, like, the clips really went well. I mean, it was very well presented, and I mean, I walked away going, thank you. More than just, oh, that was entertaining. I literally walked out going, thank you. Like, I mean, I walked by them all, and I'm like, thank you. Thank you. And then I looked at Major Nelson, and I'm just like, thank you. And then I bowed at the last guy. Which I don't know why my habit changed, but I walked out more appreciative than you know, I initially went in, which is weird because I should be really appreciative because I cut the line. So thanks, you guys.
We went to two.
Okay.
And, well, the first one we went to, we can't say it was fun, but it was definitely entertaining and also kind of scary at the same time, because they were talking about possibly getting stabbed or otherwise
being the stabbers.
Being the stabbers. Hold on, let me just make sure I get this correctly. It's online gaming communities, real life relationships.
Real life in quotation marks.
Yeah, like, and I was thinking, like, oh yeah, these are the, like, kind of like relationships, you mean like boyfriend-girlfriend, boyfriend-boyfriend, girlfriend-girlfriend kind of things, like with the gaming community, like you play with them and then you meet up and then get in a relationship and get married maybe down the road? No, they were talking about getting actual gaming communities together and saying, you know, yeah, you know, you've been playing with this guy or friend or girl or whatever they are for a long time. And you're like, you know what? Maybe we should hang out and get to know each other a little bit better instead of, like, we know each other by voice or we know each other by code name. But we want to know you guys better. I mean, a lot of them went down the panel. They're like, yeah, I had this one from France. And I met her finally and met the husband. And the guy was just like, everybody's like, oh. And he was just like, screw you guys. And then he's like, yeah, I was actually, like, one of, like, the groomsmen at her wedding or something like that, because they got to be that close together. And I was like, this is a great thing, because when I come into this, usually I'm just like, everybody's kind of like, from my environment, usually hostile. It's like, you know, fuck you, get away from me. But now it's like, when I'm coming here, I'm kind of like, holy shit, you could just stop and talk to somebody and get to know more about them in those 2 seconds than you would get, you know, if you knew them, like, in their lifetime. And then you pass cards, or you give them your, like, your online name, and you're maybe expecting them, maybe see them online when you're playing the Xbox, or, you know, Wii, or PC, whatever, any other thing. And this was good, because we only saw two, and I say this is probably the best one. We did go see Machinima. And we
Machinima.
All right, besides the music here, dealing with this one, they actually, when we got in there, they were like, what the fuck you guys doing here already? Like, well, because we were media, we were able to get in early right there, and then they were the first like opening in that room. So we got in there, and then the running of the bulls came in, and
bull sound.
Yeah.
Oh, my anus is bleeding.
Besides
wrong
that,
bull. Wrong bull.
So we were sitting there, and there was 4 seats, but 3 were filled, and the guy. You know, some of them were the head guys of it, but they're like, yeah, one of the guys that we got here didn't get put in, and also we were actually canceled. But they turned around and said, oh yeah, we can't really cancel you guys, so you guys are gonna have to go up there. And they assured us, they're like, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. We're just here more or less to take your, you know, Q&A right now. So, but they played a couple videos of like what they've done, so people, if they didn't know what they did, they were able to put it up there and go, hey, here's one of our joke ones. Like, they put up...
Garrymon.
Yeah, Garrymon and the Freeman's Mine and all those other things that were fucking hilarious. And it was great, but it got to the point where they just were like, all right, we're just going to break off into questions now. They didn't, like, for the whole half hour that we were there, they were just, like, people getting up and just asking questions, and they were kind of...
Hey,
like,
free t-shirt!
Yeah, here's a free t-shirt. Just take the fucking t-shirt. Just get the freaking t-shirt and get the fuck back down. You know, it was kind of funny that way, but also it was just... It was more or less along the lines entertaining than learning anything. They were okay. Just like, yeah, we've dealt... It's like, yeah, this is what we did. This is how we did. We were basically in a closet at one point, just, you know, coming up with funny things and putting them out there, and we got popular, and now we're up to, like, 30 to 50 people now, and we're in a big, like, building, and we're all friends and stuff. You know, we rub elbows with each other, and we've known each other for a while, but they like, the guy came in, like, a year after the company got really big. So it kind of... We got to the point where we're like, all right, dude, we got to leave because
this is kind of getting boring.
Yeah, we kind of got a little bit bored with that one. So out of those two, I think the relationship gaming one was a little bit better, but not trying to shoot down, what is it again?
Machinima.
Damn it.
For those who don't truly understand what Machinima does, they do make like videos, but they make it with like game footage and... You know, it's parody-ish type of stuff.
Where's the game with it? Shall we?
Yes, it was hilarious on that part.
I came into exposure to them back in my waning WoW days.
I'm so glad we were past those days.
Yes, I completely agree. But even though I was still coming out of that, you know, I could still at the time appreciate the jokes and the references. And they had actually gotten some actual players from one server who could rap and spit. And they made, like, music videos with, like, original lyrics to, like, you know, like, Eminem, Say My Name.
Yeah.
You know, My Name Is, I'm sorry. Wrong one. And
that's Destiny's Child.
Yeah, yes. That's a totally different one. My Name Is, and I mean, like, it was funny and it was entertaining, and there was some product placement in that one, I think, for Mana Energy Drink. But still, that's okay. Shameless plug, electricsisterhood.com. We all do it.
BostonBastardBringy.com.
But needless to say, you know, like, I didn't even care. I mean, yes, I liked the references to the WoW in the music video, but I liked the fact that they went into the game to find their talent. Like, they didn't just say, oh, well, you can rap, so we'll make your WoW account, we'll, like, ask Blizzard to deck you out, and then you'll spit. These were actual gamers who came out and said, I can spit, you should hear me, and they made this video. So, I mean, I like that they go into the games that they're using and they find gamers in it to enhance what they're doing.
Well, the one thing that they were talking about was the flooding of the Halo usage, and they were saying that it kind of was... They were like, yes, we figured out a way to extend the life of Halo 3 through, you know, doing this, but yet it is going to flood the market because every other goddamn person that's trying to create something funny is using Halo, or putting their own kind of perspective into Halo to come out with a funny thing. And it's cool, but sometimes there's just stuff that's just utter crap that should have never gotten put out there. But with Machinima. All right, fine. I'm not going to say it ever again. Anyways.
Every time you want to say it, point
just
to me, I'll
machine,
say it.
And then Amma.
Machinima.
Or point at me and I'll say it.
There you go. Machinima. All right, anyways, dealing with that, they more or less, I thought they just did... some joke videos along the lines, right. But they also did actual visual stuff from the games. And I wanted to go up there and like grab all the guys, and be like, "Give me the equipment that you're using, so I could, you know,
do
play the game,
myself.
Record the freaking thing, and you know, talk about the fucking thing." Because I suck with the electronics that I've got. God damn it! You know, but it was along the lines that, you know, they do have great quality videos that I won't, you know, I kind of wanted to contact them and be like, you know what? Is there any way that I can, like, work with you guys so I can actually get or and also represent you kind of on the B3 with doing the, using your videos? Because you guys have the highest quality videos that are usually out there. And it's a pain in the ass because I'm always, like, I pop on online. I'm like, all right, I got to find a video for the new Battlefield 2, Bad Company 2. So I'm like, I'm looking through. I'm like, okay, this isn't it. I pop it on there. Son of a bitch. Them again, and I was kind of like, fuck, I don't want to be able to use this shit unless I get permission, you know, so it's kind of been a pain in the ass, but when you get somebody that usually just uses the YouTube setup, and you can just go and just take it off their website, right. And it's fine like that, but when you have something that, like, pops up their own logo right in the front of it, you're like, shit, I think I gotta get, like, some kind of permission from there. I contacted them before, but they didn't get back to me, so if I see them today, I'm gonna tackle them. I'm going to be like, give me permission to use your shit.
But I want to say that it has been really a lot of fun running around with B3 crew, meeting up with everybody from Game Hounds and running into the All Game Fam and Bit Mob Rich. I mean, it's just been really, really cool to see everybody. I can't wait to see you at the next event. And, yeah. So, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
I am Blue Onyx.
And I am King Baby Duck.
And we are signing off from PAX East Boston.
Woo! Sign our bitches.
And we are the bastards.
The ship sailed into harbor after 15 months at sea. The captain hit the tavern with his crew of 53. After drinking up their pay, they staggered through the town. But all the inns and public houses turned the sailors down. The captain said, "Fear not, me lads, you all can come with me. I live just round the corner, and you all can stay for free." But when the captain's wife awoke upon the break of day, they say that you could hear her wailing clear to Botany Bay.
Arr!
She said, "There's semen all around the bed and semen on the floor. Semen in the bathroom and behind the closet door. There's semen in the fireplace and semen in the hall. The living room is carpeted with semen wall to wall. There's semen in the entryway and semen on the stair. And worst of all, there's even semen in me underwear. There's some behind the larder and beneath the table too. I do believe your semen got into me Irish stew. There's semen here in front of me and semen in the rear. My God, there's even semen hanging from the chandelier. There's semen on the windowsill and semen in the yard. The semen even left a stain upon the St. Bernard. Although I am a patient wife, 'tis more than I can bear to wake up in the morning with your semen in my hair. I ne'er again do wish to see thee darken up my door. So clean up all your semen and come round my way no more. So clean up all your semen and come round my way.